Welcome. My name is Barbara Fote. I'm a member of the congregation, and I am here to say, you know, it would have been so easy just to roll over and snuggle up in your bed today, but thank you for coming, because many people have prepared a worship, and you are a witness of the importance of God's work in the world, and without you, our worship wouldn't be nearly as meaningful. So whatever brings you here, if you are a visitor and you have come out of curiosity, if you are a regular and come out of custom, or if you are hurting in some way or there's a crisis in your life, please know that you are welcome here. And we hope that you feel the presence of God this morning. If you are new to us, we have, hopefully you've picked up, a abbreviated worship service, but most of our service will be up on the screen. Also, we have a visitor brochure. I'm on the welcome team, so I will try to get by to give you one of those. Inserted, you'll find a lavender slip. We hope everyone, even if you've been here forever, will fill this out so we know that you've been here. And if you are new, we'd love to have some contact information just to say thanks for being a part of our community today. I want to welcome Joyce, who has an important announcement for us.
Good morning, everyone. You know me now as, I think, the Thanksgiving Bag Coordinator. I wanted to give a brief announcement, reminder about Thanksgiving bags that we will be giving away to, we think, about 150 families in our neighborhood. There is an insert in this morning's bulletin. Please look at that. It gives you ideas of things that we need. It also gives you an opportunity to sign up to volunteer, to pack bags on Sunday the 19th, or to help hand out bags on Tuesday the 21st. The three things I want to highlight. First of all, I will tell people when frozen turkeys are on sale. That doesn't usually happen for a few more weeks. We can... Oh, good. Price Chopper, 99 cents a pound. A lot of times they go down to, what is it? Oh, well, okay. All right, very good. And a lot of times Wegmans goes down to 59 cents a pound as we get closer. So I will let people know, but good. There are some good pointers for people. Fresh produce. We are begging for fresh produce all the time, every single Friday during Friday Community. And as we get closer, winter squashes, collard greens, fresh collard greens. Many people love those. Brussels sprouts, things like that. My last thing that I wanted to share with you, if there are any members of the or people in the congregation who feel that they could benefit from a Thanksgiving bag, see me after the service and we will sign you up. All right? Thank you.
So important and such a wonderful ministry that we do. Couple other things I want to call to your attention. On the back of the purple slip is a way that you can access online, a way to donate to the congregation by credit card using a QR code. And if you don't know how to do those, just ask a 12-year-old. You can also go to our website and scroll down and click on Give UUMC. Looking ahead, our church business meeting called a church conference. I just flag for you November 9th. And also to flag for you November 12th, where the children, hopefully, will be singing during the service. It's Children's Sabbath Sunday. And if you are a young person, we would love for you to stay after church for a few moments to practice to sing on that Sunday. So after church, children's choir will be practicing. There are restrooms and childcare out this way, the gathering room in the back for refreshments and conversation after the worship service, and a reminder of our safe sanctuary policy that children should be accompanied at all times when they're in the building. I believe those are just a few of the many things that are going on and the directions you need. Please do see your bulletin for more information, and let's continue our worship.
Good morning. Welcome. I'm so honored to say that I'm the pastor here. I'm Pastor Alicia Wood, and I'm so pleased to see all of your faces today. It was a great day, as Barbara said, to stay in bed or on the couch because it's nice and dark out still. The mission of University United Methodist Church is to be the hands and spirit of Jesus Christ, transforming our neighborhood, our world, and ourselves. The theme of our worship series and stewardship campaign, Feed God's People, body, mind, and spirit is in fact our church's vision statement. The key foundational verse for our understanding of our mission and vision is feed my sheep, which is why we have our sheep and our shepherd's crook up here. Taken from the Gospel of John, each week of this series, as we have thought about committing ourselves to this vision through our gifts, our presence, and our service, we have focused on one of our four goals we have established to support our mission. So today is the fourth goal. It's the last week in our worship series and stewardship campaign. So our fourth and final goal for University Church is to increase our membership and to establish long-term stability. This is really the nuts and bolts. While there are many kinds of Christian ministry, for us to do ministry as a Christian church in this place, in this time, we need to pay our expenses. The fourth goal doesn't just leave us holding the bag. It goes on to explain how we will accomplish this goal by inviting, welcoming, and integrating newcomers into the life of our church, just like Jefferson Dedrick, who we'll hear from later today. Nothing could be more biblical than welcoming the stranger. In other words, our strategy for long-term financial stability is simply to be the church. We have spent these four Sundays in October reflecting on our church's mission as a way to remind ourselves that, this is a hymn you all know and love, the church is not a building. The church is not a steeple. The church is not a resting place. The church is a people. We, the people of University United Methodist Church, have the opportunity today to begin writing the next chapter of our history. We have the opportunity to be a place of welcome and inclusion in today's challenging world. We have the opportunity together to be greater than the sum of our parts. We can indeed be audacious enough to dream of a church where everyone is welcome. So will you please remain seated and sing together, "I Dream of a Church," and it will be displayed on the screen.
I dream of a church where everyone is welcome. I dream of a place we all can call home. I dream of a world where justice is flowing, with hope and peace growing, and God's will is done.
Good morning. My name is Jacqueline Sadowski, and I will be your liturgist for the morning. If I seem to disappear at times, it's because I have to be with the choir. Okay. From north to south, from east to west, we come. From down the street to across town, from single households to apartment dwellers. From every class, every race, every status, from little ones with sippy cups to elders with overflowing hearts, God's people are called to be witnesses to God's hope, to offer the peace to shatter a world. Please remain, please stand and join in singing "In the Midst of New Dimensions," displayed on the screen.
In the midst of new dimensions, in the face of changing times, who will lead the pilgrim peoples wandering in the sacred way? Son of the
people, ours the journey, now and ever more. As we stand, a world divided by our own self-seeking schemes, grant that we, your global village, might envision wider dreams. God of rainbow, fiery pillar, leading where the eagles soar, we, your people, ours the journey, now and evermore. We are man and we are woman, all persuasions old and young, each a gift in your creation, each a love song to be sung. God of rainbow, fiery pillar, leading where the eagles soar, we, your people, ours the journey, now and evermore. Should the threats of dire predictions cause us to withdraw in pain, may your blazing phoenix spirit resurrect the church again. God of rainbow, fiery pillar, leading where the eagles soar, your people, ours the journey, now and evermore.
Now is the time to let us greet one another, old friends and friends to be, by shaking hands or maybe a fist bump or a high five, saying, good morning or peace be with you. I invite you to share the peace of Christ.
Good morning again. Would the children please come forward if they are comfortable and able? And as they do, let us sing them forward.
Guide my feet while I run this race. Guide my feet while I run this race. Guide my feet while I run this race, for I don't want to run this race in vain. Guide my feet while I run this race. Guide my feet while I run this race. Guide my feet while I run this race, for I don't want to run this race in vain.
Good morning. How is everyone this morning? Good. We are going to talk about a very important thing, and it's called an invitation. Does anybody know what an invitation is?
Asking someone.
Has anyone ever been invited anywhere? What have you been invited to?
A birthday party.
Have you ever invited anybody anywhere? Have you been invited someone to a birthday party? What about God? Now, last week, several of you told me where God lives. Where does God live?
In our hearts and in heaven.
Okay. How did he get in our hearts? Do you know? How did he get in our hearts?
Because you invited him.
You invited him. Well, what about if he's in your heart? What if he's not in your heart? What if you find somebody that he's not in your heart? How does he get into somebody else's heart?
Okay, they invited him, all right? What if they don't know God? What if they don't know God?
Is that God is in the heart, going to tell them, and they're going to invite him in the heart.
All right, so somebody that has God in their heart, they ask somebody else to put God in their heart? Is that how it works?
No.
No? Oh, how does it work, Eric? What do you think?
They need to follow and listen and obey him and follow all 10 commandments.
Okay. So they need to listen to God, obey all 10 commandments. Okay, that's a good one. Yes, Stella.
You could tell them to go to a church.
You could tell them to go to a church. Because is that where God lives too? Does he live in church? Oh, he does? Oh, okay. That's good. That's good. So our biggest thing today that we want to learn about is how that if God is in our heart, number one, we know how we got there because we invited him. But we also want to have God, we want to use, God uses us, I should say. God uses us to invite other people to have God in their hearts. Can we have just a little prayer? Yes. Dear Lord, thank you for being in our hearts, and thank you for inviting us in helping us to invite you into our hearts, and so that we can show God how God works through us to go into other people's hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Can you stay here for just one moment? Because Pastor Alicia has something.
Well, I do have something to say, but I can talk to you over there in a moment, okay? So let's go over there. I have a job for you today. Yay. And also, I'm wondering if all of you, if it's possible, you can stay for 15 minutes after worship and work on a song, because we're going to sing on November 12th. All right? So those are the two things. But aren't we so blessed? The choir is going to sing.
Come and learn from me.
please join in singing our call to prayer.
Let us join together in a time of prayer as we pray silently, followed by a short spoken prayer, and then the Lord's Prayer, in whatever way or language you feel comfortable and closest to God. Shall we have a moment of silence? I'm using a prayer this morning written by Beth Richardson. It's from our study that we had on Celtic blessings. The hurting places. There is a world of hurt around me today, and my heart fills with pain. Sometimes I hear myself saying, all I can do is pray. And then I remember that praying is no small thing. Sometimes it is the only thing, the one true thing for this hurting world. Healing God, send your wholeness. Loving Christ, your strength. Holy Spirit, your accompanying presence. To all who hurt, to all who struggle, and to all who mourn. Amen. Will you join me in the Lord's Prayer? Creator God, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. For God's kingdom to come, we must indeed learn to give as generously as God has given to us. Please stand as you are able and join me in singing, God Whose Giving Knows No Ending. It's a new hymn sung to a familiar tune, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing.
God whose giving knows no ending, from your rich and endless store, nature's wonder, Jesus' wisdom, costly cross, grave shattered door. Gifted by you, we will turn you, offering ourselves in praise. Thankful songs shall rise forever, gracious donor of our days. Skills and time are ours for pressing toward the goals of Christ your Son. all at peace in health and freedom. Races join, the church made one. Now direct our daily labor, lest we strive for self alone. Born with talents, make us servants, fit an answer at your throne. Treasure to you have entrusted, gain through powers your grace conferred. Ours to use for home and kindred, and to spread the gospel word. Open wide our hands in sharing, as we Christ's ageless healing, teaching, and reclaiming, serving you by loving all.
This morning we have two scriptures, one from the book of Isaiah in the Old Testament and one from the book of Acts in the New Testament. The two scriptures have an interesting relationship. The words from the prophet Isaiah, written in the 6th century B.C., describes his vision of a new way people will act when the Messiah comes. The Acts text, written 50 or 60 years after Jesus' death and resurrection, describes how people actually acted in the very early church, after the Messiah had come. Listen to the two readings and see if the vision and the reality match up. Then think about what these texts tell us about the vision we have for our own church. Both readings are from the Common English Bible. And Dennis will lead us into our song response to the scriptures as we respond to commit to make it so. The reading from Isaiah is in the 58th chapter, verse 9 to 11. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer, and you will cry for help, and God will say, I'm here. If you remove your yoke from among you, the finger pointing and the wicked speech, if you open your heart to the hungry and provide abundantly for those who are afflicted, your light will shine in the darkness and your gloom will be like the noon. The Lord will guide you continually and provide you every parched place. He will rescue your bones. You will be like a watered garden, like a spring of water that won't run dry. The Acts reading is from the 2nd chapter, verses 42 to 47. The believers devoted themselves to the apostles, teaching to the community, to their shared meals, and to their prayers. A sense of awe came over everyone. God performed many wonders and signs through the apostles. All the believers were united and shared everything. They would sell pieces of property and possessions and distribute the proceeds to everyone who was in need. Every day they met together in the temple and ate in their homes. They shared food with gladness and simplicity. They praised God and demonstrated God's goodness to everyone. The Lord added daily to the community those who were being saved. I dreamed, oh, make it so.
Good morning. My name is Mark Fullerton. I was asked to be part of this year's stewardship campaign, and little did I know that they would have that would mean that I'd have to speak. As with all stewardship campaigns, we're focused on our gifts, on our financial pledges to the church, especially since this year we're looking for a new tenant in the building. But today I would like to talk about another aspect of stewardship, and that's of our time and our talents. Many of you know that I came from James Street United Methodist. We closed partly out of financial considerations, but the real straw that caused us to close was that we just didn't have the people to support the mission of the church. University needs your time and your talents to be part of the church's mission. This church has many opportunities, from worship to outreach to our Sunday morning breakfast. Many and many other, Christian education is another, and many other teams that need your support. I urge you to look at your time and your talents and find a group that you can be part of. If anything, our long-term financial stability is more involved with our support of the church than our financial contribution. Thank you.
This morning, I'm very excited because Jefferson Dedrick has offered to talk with us today, with all of us, and he's coming up with me. We're going to go up there. Jefferson started coming to University United Methodist Church in August. So he's pretty brave to come up here and talk already, right? Yeah. Well, thanks again for talking with us. I appreciate it. And you're a student at SU, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, a law. Oh, I forgot the microphone for you. Yep. He is a law student at Syracuse University. Two tall people can do this. It never would have worked out if it was me being short. So I have a couple questions for you.
Sure.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
All right.
I think I'm ready. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, good.
So how did you find us? How did you find University United Methodist Church?
Yeah, so the first time I came to this church, I peeked in from that door up there because I was here for conference stuff
when
I was younger.
That's right.
I was active. I'm from Western New York, so I had never been here before, but they're like, oh, we have to show you this beautiful, beautiful sanctuary. I was like, yeah, great. So I peeked in that door, and here I am 5 years later. I decided to come to Syracuse, and so I traveled up with my dad, and I'm looking at places to live, and he goes, hey, look, there's a United Methodist Church. I'm like, hey, you're right, Dad. I'm like, oh, I gotta better find a church. And so I ended up Googling the church, of course, and went to the website and scrolled through it and saw all of the different things that this church community is doing. And I said, yeah, I can give that a try.
Oh, all right. Good. And so when you arrived, what did you find? What was your first experience here?
Sure. Well, it was a usual cast of characters, I think, at this time. Dean welcomed me at the front and shook my hand and welcomed me to the church. And then I sat right back in the back, what we call the sinner's pew in my church. Barbara came up and tapped me on the shoulder and said, hey, welcome. And now I know that that's the welcome team, that they were doing their job in welcoming me. And so that was my first experience, was a community that was from the get-go welcoming me to their home, to their place of worship.
Wonder what made you come back?
Yeah, well, law school's hard, so it's nice to have a break, and what better break but to come worship. Yeah, this is a more difficult question for me. When I was in undergrad, I went to Fredonia, which is a SUNY school. I didn't go to church for my 4 years there. I didn't find a community that spoke to me and spoke to the community, the greater community, in a way that I wanted to be a part of. But for the first day that I showed up here, hearing about the breakfasts and all of the service to the community, and hearing people worship together and experience that worship, I immediately clicked. And I said, all right, well, that will bring you back for a second week.
Mm-hmm.
And I have been back every week since.
Yes. Well, yeah. We're grateful. So I'm wondering, how are you feeling or seeing that newcomers, new folks, can get involved?
Sure. Well,
is it coming up here and talking in front of everyone?
No.
No, this isn't normal.
Yeah. When I was thinking about this question, Pastor Alicia pitched it to me last week. I think what we have to think of as a church is, what do we have to offer that the rest of the world doesn't have to offer to youth and young adults?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, going to Syracuse, there's all sorts of programs at Syracuse. It's very easy to find people to hang out with and be friends with. Mm-hmm. But there's something out in the rest of the world that you can get here. And I like to think that that's what brings people to church.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what we can offer as a church community to young adults from Syracuse, but also young families who are living in the area and are trying to find their place in the community. Yeah. Is the one thing that we can offer is a personal relationship with God and a community that supports that relationship. And there's just so many things in the world, you know, there's programs all over the place, mm-hmm. and there's places that you can hang out and places where you can be in community, but there is no community like community of God. There is no family that can give you the support and love that being in a place like this can give you.
Yeah.
So I think that as we think about how we welcome young adults and students and young families to our church and how we connect them with our community and how we connect them with God, we have to think about what we can offer them that they can't get elsewhere.
Right. Awesome. Well, thank you so much. Thank you for talking with us, and we're grateful that you gave us some insight on what it's like to be new at University United Methodist Church. And so will you sit with me for a minute while I enter? Okay. So this church is more than a place to clock in and clock out on Sunday mornings. As Jefferson said, there's so much going on in our community, in our church. So this church, this congregation, is on the cusp of something. Something that is very exciting. Just as our text from Acts said today, the community grew in numbers, and we have been growing here. When I arrived the summer of 2015, we were seeing on average about 90 people in worship. And over the summer of 2017, we saw on average 120 to 125 people. And this fall, we've been seeing numbers, not every week, but many weeks, that are 145. So the Spirit is moving in here, and we can be a part of this. How exciting. So I have a goal, and I'm hoping all of you will join me in this goal. I have a goal that we see an average attendance of 150 a week come Christmas. So that takes all of us connecting and building relationships and inviting. So this congregation is the right place and at the right time to make a difference in our city and our nation. Being an active community of faith means being a part of something bigger than ourselves, which Jefferson talked about, that family of God. So I'm talking about a movement of seeking justice, the kind of justice that Jesus talked about. I'd like to show you a video. It's about our church that is a part of this movement and that I believe can continue to be a part of this movement. And I think this movement is born of the Holy Spirit.
Across the world, there is a sound, an echo of hope, a song of love, a shout of joy. It's the sound of the church rediscovering what it means to be the church. We're reaching back. We're reaching up. We're reaching out. Will you come along and join a movement 2,000 years in the making? This isn't a place of judgment or hypocrisy or perfect people. This is a place of freedom. This is a place of hope. This is a place to belong.
We are a part of this movement. Yeah, I love that video. Wasn't it great? We are a part of this movement. This movement 2,000 years in the making. People in our city, in our world, they're losing hope. They're wondering, where do I belong? And asking, where is God in all of this? I invite you to invite others to be a part of this movement. Not because it's something that they have to do or we have to do, but it's because it's something that we all want to do. We all want to be a part of this movement, this justice-seeking movement. Our movement includes building relationships. It's about inclusion. It's about mercy. It's about justice. And it's about grace. So as we talk about pledging our hard-earned money to the church, let's also remember our other goals of authentic worship, outreach, justice-seeking, and lifelong learning. And remember, we are pledging to a movement. So, later today, during our closing hymn, the children are going to come forward and get some baskets, and they're going to stand up in the front here, and we're going to ask all of you, as you sing the closing hymn, to come up with your pledge cards and put them in the basket. If you're unable to bring your pledge cards up, the children will be coming around as well. And also, they're going to come up to the organ loft too, so choir, be ready. There's a reason that the children are doing this. It's not because they've been, you know, elected to do this and they're cute, which they are. They're doing this because as we turn in our pledge, we're making a promise to our future. We're making a promise that there is something yet to come. And so when you make your pledge, know you're handing this pledge to a child. And so I ask you, as we move forward this year in 2017 and 2018, who will you invite to be a part of this? As we enter a time of giving today, know that anyone who is here for the first time, we don't expect any donation from you today. We are so glad you're here. We are grateful that you've come to give us a try and to see what's going on in here. Yet we do have a very strong tradition of giving at University Church. So as the ushers come down, we ask that you place your donation in the offering plate.
Oh,
Please remain standing and join me in the call, the prayer of dedication, which is adapted from Tom Schumann. We can hoard the gifts with which you bless us, God of generosity, or we can share them with others. May what we offer in these moments be the very blessing, the very hope, the very peace others need. Now go to be generous with those around you as well as those far away. Now go to live as faithful people. Amen. And as I mentioned before, during the closing hymn, we will be collecting prayer slips, or I mean, that's the wrong time of day, our pledge cards. The children, one will be standing here, and one will be standing in front of that aisle. There will be another who goes to the organ loft, and then there will be some children coming around with baskets to collect pledge cards. There wasn't any question about our last hymn today. We are honored because this hymn was written in 1955 by Leon Atkins, who was the pastor right here at University Church. So today, let's sing Go Make of All Disciples.
Go make of all disciples, we hear the call.
Go stand over there.
That comes from you, our Maker, in your eternal word. Inspire our ways of learning through earnest, fervent prayer, and let our daily living reveal you everywhere. Go make of all disciples, baptizing in the names Creator, Christ, and Spirit, from age to age the same. We call each new disciple to follow you, O Lord, redeeming soul and body by water and the word. Go make of all disciples, we at your feet would say, until each life's vocation accents your holy way. We cultivate the nature of plants in every heart, revealing in our witness the master teacher's art. Go make of all disciples, we welcome your command. Lo, I am with you always, we make your guiding hand. The task looms large before us, we follow without fear. In heaven and earth your power shall bring God's kingdom here.
So I'd like to pray over these pledges. And I have some of the children here that I could catch. If anyone else wants to come and stand over the prayer slips, feel free. If you'd like to sit now because you are ready to sit, that's okay, or you can stand, whatever. But I'd like to pray over these because what a blessing. What a blessing. Thank you for coming up. What a blessing. Will you all do this with me? Put your hands over here because we're going to say a prayer. Thank you. I am no longer my own but thine. Put me to what you will. Rank me with whom you will. Put me to doing, put me to suffering. Let me be employed by you or laid aside for you, exalted for you or brought low by you. Let me be full, let me be empty. Let me have all things, let me have nothing. I freely and heartily yield all things to thy pleasure and disposal. And now, O glorious and blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are mine and I am yours. So be it. And the covenant made, which I have made on earth, let it be ratified in heaven. Amen.